Yes, my friends, the iPogo can do anything.
Anything?
Oh, yeah.
If you want to comb your cat, there's an app for that. If you have to fix a flat, there's an app for that. Need a word that rhymes with that?
Mat, brat, mat, mat.
Or a place to hang your hat? Got a chimp who likes to chat. There's an app for that. If your butter needs a pat, there's an app for that. If you need to rat-a-tat-tat,
there's an app for that.
Gotta practice singing scat.
Billy-dee-dop-dee-dop-dee-dop.
Wanna meet a boy named Matt?
Hi, I'm Matt. Nice to meet you.
Count to 10 in no time flat.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
There's an app for that.
Hey, Steve with you. This is Teaching, Learning, Leading, K12.com, and this is episode 33, Six Apps for the Classroom with David Lockhart, who's a high school teacher at North Atlanta High. I'm glad you're here today. I think you're really, really going to enjoy this show. You don't have to be a tech specialist. You don't have to be just a tech geek or just a guru of technology in order to understand the implication that apps can have on your classroom. Today, David's going to talk about four main things or ideas. Number one, his six favorite apps. Two, just how much those things cost anyway. Number three, oh my goodness, they're engaging. It's the kids' world, and it just has this amazing instructional impact. And number four, they are extremely easy for any educator to learn how to use and bring straight into the classroom. Just as a note, Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a podcast for educators. And just like its name says, it's all about teaching, learning, leading grades K through 12. It exists solely to help bring ideas and resources to you to help you help the kids achieve their dreams. I'm glad you're here today. I would love it if you would go by iTunes, Stitcher, or Blueberry and leave us a rating. And definitely if you'd just subscribe. Share us with your colleagues. Share us with your friends. Share us with your family. And most of all, just enjoy the show and have an awesome, awesome day.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
There's an app for that. What a catchy little tune. Check it out. Even on Sesame Street, they're singing about apps. Oh my goodness. Boy, that's a far cry from singing about the ladybugs at the ladybug's picnic. Or how about today's show is brought to you by the letter C. And now it's time for the adventures of Super Grover. Or how about Grover is the waiter? Hey, Charlie, there's a guy out here who says he's got a fly in his soup. I got a lot of fun memories of Sesame Street. Well, you can find that little song at sesamestreet.org or go onto YouTube and just put in there's an app for that.
Hey, it's Steve again with Teaching, Learning, Leading, K12.com. And today I've got with me David Lockhart talking about apps for the classroom. Say hi, David.
Hello.
Well, David, let's start by you telling our audience who you are and what you do, and then we'll go from there.
I'm David Lockhart. I'm actually a high school teacher for Atlanta Public Schools at North Atlanta High School, but I do a lot of ed tech stuff kind of on the side.
I recently met you, David, at a virtual school conference back during the summer, and you presented on 30 apps in 30 minutes. And I just want to ask you, what got you interested in using apps in the classroom?
It's just kind of something I've evolved to. I started off, a long time ago in Cobb County and ended up begging for a Mac computer, and they gave me a Mac computer. And so it's just something I've evolved to as I've gone through. Obviously, when the iPad came into schools and came in years back, it's something that apps have become important to the school process, and it helps students be engaged, and you're starting to see iPads in schools, so it's more and more interesting.
Having now, since I met you, then followed you on Google+, and we'll talk about some of those places people can find you later on social media. Yeah. But I see what you write about and what you push out and what you share with everybody. So my next question is, have you always had an interest in tech stuff, or is it something that came by accident? Or
It's something that I've always had an interest in. I've never been – when I went through college and I graduated college in 2003, it was just something that has kind of evolved. It's something that I found that I was good at and I liked, and it's a way I like to run my classroom, and it's just kept evolving and evolving and evolving to where I am now.
So it wasn't like a radioactive spider bit you and you just suddenly – never mind.
No, it wasn't that. It just – it's just something I found that I like, and it's something that – it's one of those things where you find something that you're good at teaching-wise, and that's what I'm good at. And so I've just evolved, and then really spreading out and kind of taking and going to conferences and presenting, that was – really an administrator at North Atlanta who kind of gave me a little push to do that. And so that's happened within the last 3 years.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, I can tell you, and just to say, I really enjoyed your class this summer. I kind of consider myself a little geeky when it comes to tech stuff, but I know just enough to get myself in trouble.
Yeah.
But it was an incredible class, and you did these 30 apps in 30 minutes, and it was just amazing what you went through and kept straight on what you said you would do. What I want to, before we get into the apps that you're going to kind of talk about as your favorites, tell me what a classroom teacher, what you think they need to do before they start trying to even jump into this pool of using apps.
Well, I think it's just find what you like in your classroom and what works in your classroom, and then you find apps that benefit that and add to it. And really with all these apps, it's just playing with them and getting on them and finding that one little idea that you can use and use in your classroom that the kids will really like. And then when you get it in the classroom, if it doesn't work, you adjust.
It's just so amazing all the technology that's out there and available. And I know that sometimes it gets just a little overwhelming for people to even think, where do I start? I think what you're talking about is good stuff there. So tell me how much technology you have to use some of these apps.
I think honestly, it depends on the app. I'm a big Apple guy, so some of the ones that I've shown and some of the ones I use are iOS-based. But it just depends on what you want to do and what app it is. There's things online that are great. There's things for Android, even though that's not my – they're good too.
And just as a note, for some of our listeners, we're using the term app, but what we're talking about is the applications, the different types that for like iOS, you find them in, they have their own app store. And is that pretty much where you go to download yours is through the app store, or do you have?
As far as downloading them or just finding?
Finding. Do you have ways that you find?
I have a couple different resources that I find stuff through. I just recently got certified with Graphite, which is from Common Sense Media and has great reviews of apps and stuff like that. Sometimes I find stuff at tech conferences. Really, if you go in just to the app store, I mean, what you're going to come across usually is just games, and it's hard to kind of dig through to find the stuff that you really want. So you kind of got to go outside the iOS app store, and I'm sure Android's probably the same way.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because that's, as I was talking to you, I wanted to make sure that I kind of asked that question, because it is something that when you go in that app store and you go, wow, okay, so everything's game, so where's everything else? And you kind of have to know where you're going when you go in there if you're looking for
some other
games, which is interesting. Tell me, are there costs associated with these, or some?
The ones that I try to present, are either free or they're low cost. And a lot of the ones that are low cost are ones that are you would just need for like a teacher. They're more teacher based. But there are some there's great free stuff out there, and there just keeps getting more and more.
That's excellent. So what's the most expensive one you've seen?
Oh, the most expensive apps I've ever seen are some of the assistive technology ones, which, I mean, those are expensive, but those things do some amazing things. As far as just a regular classroom app, I'm trying to think. I've seen some that are $10, but yeah, not much past that.
So even the most expensive ones, unless you're getting into extreme whatever that resource is about, or the most expensive we're talking about for for people is probably going to be $10, where most of them are going to be, what, about $1 to $2?
Yeah, most of them are, if they're not free, they're within the 99 cent, $2 range, something like that.
Yeah, so right now, this way we haven't scared away the people that are going, oh my gosh, some of them cost, what are you talking about? So with that being said, you know, you did 30 apps in 30 minutes. Can we kind of narrow it down to from 30 to 5, if you could talk about your 5 favorite? And you can go beyond that if you want, but I just wanted to kind of help us kind of focus in a little bit. But tell us which ones you like the best.
And it may not be ones from my presentation, but I'll tell you ones that I like the best.
That's cool.
Well, my first one that I've gotten into a lot, and I've kind of gotten connected with them as a company, is an app called TouchCast. What TouchCast does is you can record video, and it's a video editor, and it has all the great tools for video editing, like green screen, and it has a teleprompter. But what's really neat about it, and it's a free app, what's really neat about it is that you can actually put interactive content in the video. So like when a user is watching the video, they can actually click on the website and actually use the website straight from the video.
Oh, wow.
It's fairly new. I think they started, I'm trying to remember what they told me. They started within the last year. So they're just on the iOS App Store right now. And there's a PC download. There's not a Mac download, but they're coming to everything. They're working on Mac stuff. They've told me and I'm sure they're working on Android stuff too. I'm trying to think, especially the ones I use in my room. I've gotten real into Google recently. I use a lot of Google Drive and Google Plus. I like Google Plus for classroom communication because you can actually put students in circles and just send stuff to that student group. And it's worked out really well. The kids are sending me assignments through Google Plus. Another one I use a lot
Can I stop you there for just a second? All right. So let's take just a second because what you just talked about is awesome. And I just wanted to make sure that we said that because you're using Google Plus, which has the circles, and what I also heard you say is you can send them assignments. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Well, with Google Plus, the nice thing about Google Plus is I can share directly from Google Drive to my Google Plus circles. So when I put an assignment in Google Drive, I can actually share it to the student circle directly.
Awesome.
From Google Drive. The students can also do the same thing from their Google Drive. They can share it with me directly. So it's something we're playing with in class, and it's starting to work really well. And there's a few that are sending me stuff, but no, it's not really prevalent yet. But I think you start to see more and more kind of do that.
Excellent. That's so you kind of see possibly creating using the Google Forms and stuff like this, possibility that they could actually complete assignments.
Absolutely. Kids are, we actually, with my classes, we use Google Forms for the bell ringers and exit tickets.
Nice.
We push them out on the front page of the website through Remind, although the Remind is kind of a little flaky right now. And we push them out through Google Plus, and we actually push them out through Twitter too. And the kids can go on any one of those with their own device and answer the bell ringer and exit ticket that way.
Oh, that's excellent. So then after they do the bell ringer, do you have do you pull up what their responses were, or is it, you know?
I'm still playing, because it's something new I'm doing this year. I'm still playing with how to use that the best.
Gotcha.
Really, I just kind of it's a check for me right now, but that's an idea too, to pull it up for a discussion.
Very cool. Well, sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead with
that. Oh, no, you're fine. I've got recently, since ISTE, I've gotten really into using Symbaloo. And Symbaloo basically is a tile-based digital bookmarking service. Where I use it mostly for organization, and for actually differentiation. But that's a whole different . But I use it for organization on my website. And really, what Symbaloo can do a lot more, because I've seen people use it for like there are PLC team meetings to kind of keep track of a notebook. What's really nice about Symbaloo is you can actually embed Google Drive into it, or they can just click on it, open straight up into Google Drive.
Wow. That's cool. So let me make sure, Symbaloo, S-I-M-L-U?
It's S-Y.
S-Y.
Let me pull it up real quick so I can make sure I spell it right. It's S-Y-M-B-A-L-O-O. Symbaloo. And they actually have an EDU site. So if it's EDU, it's symbaloo.edu.com.
But you were saying that you can embed your Google Drive in there. Is that what?
Yeah. And so it, you can actually have multiple Google, instead of trying to share like multiple Google Drive docs with the kids, you can put it up on your website. You can embed it in the Symbaloo WebMix in your website, and then actually put the Google Drive docs embedded in the Symbaloo.
Nice. That's nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. They were real big at ISTE, and I went and I got certified with them, and I've just kind of, they're one of my new ones that I use a lot.
So what do the kids think about using that?
I think they like it a lot. What I used to do is kind of organize it through checklist and in a wiki. And the nice thing about Symbaloo is they're not switching back and forth from a wiki to my website. So that's where I like it a lot better.
So what's next?
I love Weebly. It's, and if you're in education, it's education.weebly.com. It's a really easy website builder. All of my sites, I'm sure we'll talk about EdTech speed dating later, but all of my sites are built in Weebly. Because it's easy, it's drag and drop, and you can add almost anything to it. And I use it all the time. Let's see what else. I'll go with two new ones that I found recently. Another one that I found I've added to some of my presentations is called TACK. It's TACKK. And TACK is really neat in that you can build a really easy one-page website, basically. But where it's really neat and where I've used it a little bit is you can actually send it out as a newsletter, and you can add almost anything to it. You can add Vimeo, YouTube. I mean, there's almost nothing you can't add to it. And you can send it out pretty much through any social network. And then the other one that I found recently that I really like is called 81 Dash. And I've gone to conferences where they've talked about back channeling a lot. Uh-huh. And they have about back channeling during lectures. And I've never found a platform that I like that you can moderate. Because with kids, if you're going to actually try back channeling, you got to have some way to moderate it. And 81 Dash has every kind of protection with moderation that you would want. You can lock kids out, you can delete, you can close the class. And so that's where I really like it, is one of the ones I discovered at ISTE.
Tell me a little bit about what back channeling is.
Back channeling is basically a way to make lectures a little more interactive, where you open up this, for lack of a better term, you open up a chat, and the kids, you can actually ask questions during the lecture. The kids can discuss lecture topics during that. It's just a way to kind of add to a lecture where it's not just sit and get.
Very cool. Very cool. So you started to say, you ran into, they were at ISTE?
81 Dash was TAC, both TAC and 81 Dash, where I found about 81 Dash is Adam Bellow, who's a national EdTech speaker and does all kinds of stuff. He was talking about it in one of his sessions, and I actually met the guy who found 81 Dash. It's pretty new, and so he's kind of running it on his own with one other guy right now, so I got to meet them. And then TAC was on the ISTE showroom floor.
ISTE was amazing. The that's the first time I had been there, and wow.
Yeah, it's my second go round with it. I went the last time, it was in Philadelphia, and it's something else.
Yeah, I came back and I just like the number of people that were there, and we're not talking about all it was missing was people dressed in costumes and movie stars. I mean,
it is kind of like that. I do agree.
So let's talk a little bit about what impact do you think these apps have on kids? Because obviously you use apps and you use technology, but some people, you know, might say that, oh, it's just a fad, or it's just something fancy. We can always do it some other way. Why do you like using this stuff with kids?
Well, I think with the whole thing with that argument is that it always starts, as people don't understand, it always starts with the process and the planning from the teacher. Because if the process and the planning is not there, you can use all the tech you want and it's not going to work. There's two really big reasons I like it a lot. One is engagement. The kids are just more engaged when you use this stuff. They're growing up in an age where some of them are growing up where the iPhone, they were little kids when the iPhone came out. And so they're growing up in an age where this is in their lives and it's prevalent in their lives. And this is what they want to use. And this is the way they communicate and the way they express themselves. And then the other thing is you have a major resource in their pocket with that can do all kinds of things and can be creative. The other thing that I really think with the argument that EdTech is just a fad is differentiation is becoming such a must topic in schools that if I look at it this way, that if I was a teacher and I was trying to run off 35 different worksheets or trying to do 35 different things with kids that are kind of in a high school, especially in a high school classroom where space is limited, doing that without technology is almost impossible. And I've had teachers tell me that. Technology is an easy way to differentiate. It's an easy way to have kids do different assignments and do assignments to their level.
Oh, that's excellent. That's that in itself should make some ears pop up and go, well, maybe I should look into this, because I like what you said. I mean, without technology, differentiation is really close to being impossible. And that
absolutely
opens up some doors there and possibilities. That's excellent. So let's talk a little bit about, when we talk about engagement and use of the apps, do you see the kids wanting to know more about the apps, not just how, if they see you use it, do you see some of them wanting to figure out how they can use it more, how they can find apps that are kind of attached to it, or is there that type of curiosity there?
I think one, it depends on the kids, because there are still kids that technology is a little bit of a struggle with sometimes. But I see it more and more because I've been doing it for a few years now, and I see it more and more with the kids. More and more want to use the technology, more and more want to use the apps. And you do see kids take it different ways, in ways you weren't expecting.
That's excellent. As with anything with kids, there's always going to be some who are going to be going, hey, give me more. And then I kind of like what you said earlier. Then you got when you're talking about the back channeling and stuff, and then you got some of the kids going, how can I break this?
That's where it goes back to the process, is you've got to have ways that you're monitoring and making sure they're not breaking it or it's not going to work.
Right. And then you got some kids who are going, yeah, I'm good. Let's move on. But let's go back to something I asked a little bit earlier. If you were talking to some teachers who just listened to you talk about these six apps, what advice would you give them in getting started?
I think the whole thing is, and this is where I, like when I go to a technology conference, I look for things that I think would fit in. I think like listening to somebody and saying, this might be something I can use. And then I go and play with it myself. And I may take it, I may do something completely different with it. I think the whole thing with it is you can't be afraid to just play with it and try to adapt it and try it and take risks. And I think that's where people get afraid, is they get afraid to take that risk.
I like that. The idea that, oh, if I do this, is something going to happen that it's going to rock my world, not in a good way. And they got to be willing to take the risk. I like that a lot. So do you have another type of technology or another resource that you like to use in your classroom that's, besides the apps? Do you have something that's just something else you like to use with the kids?
Well, I guess I like the kids to use their own device a little bit sometimes. I'm coming to a point where I'm a little partial to the iPad and letting the kids use the iPads. And we have some iPad carts in our room just because the iPad, you can create with it and you can actually video with it, but you can also do all the editing and all that stuff on it. Whereas a computer, it's a little harder to video with. The kids, there's a little pushback on the iPad just because they can do a little more with the computer and they're not as restricted.
Right.
The only thing with the iPads that is a little tough, and I understand, is especially some of my higher level IB kids, when we get to a point where they have a little bit of time to maybe write some of their essays, they don't want to do it on an iPad. So I try to provide some alternatives as far as computers when I can.
Gotcha. Let's talk a little bit about, now let's go into your website just a little bit. Now, first, your website's called EdTech Speed Dating, right?
Yep.
Okay, you got to tell me, where'd the name come from?
The name is, it all comes from the fact that when I've gone to conferences and stuff, I go to these sessions where it's basically on one or two apps and it's one or two ideas and I maybe get one thing out of sitting there for an hour. And so the idea was, is that it really was born off the 60 apps and 60 minutes presentations that are on the website and that I do a lot, is that to give people kind of a quick overview, maybe give one or two ideas, and then have people go play with it so that you can, it's a place to go and find stuff that you can use, and then you've got to go play with it and make it your own.
Gotcha. Linked on that website, you have a couple of blogs that you produce. Can you tell me about those blogs and what the purpose of them is and so forth?
Well, because it's EdTech Speed Dating, I do an App of the Month blog, which is basically it's a way to add a little more to apps that I really like and ones I found recently. And so I do an App of the Month. I kind of tell how I use it or how I could see it being used. The other blog is just, I call it Deep Thoughts. I took it when I set it up. I go back to the old Saturday Night Live Deep Thoughts. and really, it's just whatever comes across my mind at that time, or what I think, or if there's an idea that pops up that I can blog about and I can actually think I can write about for EdTech, I write about it there.
Cool. As a note, and I just kind of wanted to, as we're starting to get close to ending, one of the things that's amazing about this, and I'm older than you, probably quite a bit older than you. And what's interesting to me is that way back when I was influenced by reruns of Star Trek and stuff like this, and eventually we see talking computers and we see little square things that turn out to be floppy disks that we end up having and all kinds of stuff. But it just kind of what's amazing to me is some of the stuff that's come about today. And I always wonder how much kids being influenced by science fiction and stuff like this, who became engineers, who then made it look like or actually went after trying to create some of these things. And I was just wondering if you have something that's kind of like an influence to you that makes you, get interested in technology and, incorporating it in classroom and all that sort of stuff.
I don't know if there was something that really influenced me to do that, because I, as far as my age, I was the one, I kind of consider myself the in-between stage.
Okay.
Because I kind of grew up where we saw the internet kind of inch in, but it wasn't really kind of really in schools till I was in high school and college. And it was still the kind of read news articles type thing. So I don't know that there's one that's influenced. Really, it's just been something that's evolved as a passion and an interest of mine that I've just, and I think a lot of it started going to ISTE in 2011.
Gotcha. That just really fired you up, huh?
Yeah, it did.
That's cool. I've got a couple questions that I'm going to finish with. Is there anything that you'd like to share that you haven't talked about or I haven't asked you about?
Not that I know of. I mean, we've talked about EdTech Speed Dating, so not that I can think of right off my top of my head.
Okay. Well, in that case, then, I have a question I want to ask you. And then we'll get to where listeners can find you on the web. And one of the things I like to ask when I'm talking to teachers or people who had been in the classroom or people who have never taught, I just like to ask people, when you were in school, K through 12, was there a teacher who made a major impact on you or a difference? Someone who you would thank if given the chance, and if so, what would you say and why?
I think for me, I was an athlete in high school, so some of the people I was the closest with were my high school coaches. And one of them was my high school wrestling coach, my dad actually passed when I was in sixth grade, and so I needed that male presence in my life. And he's always been there for me. He's still there for me today, still teaches at the same high school, and I would just thank him for that.
That's very cool. Well, in finishing up, where can listeners find you on the web?
They can find me at edtechspeeddating.com, or my Twitter handle is kind of hard. It's LD112265.
LD112265.
Yep.
All right. Well, David, I greatly appreciate you spending time today. I learned a lot from you this summer. I learned a lot today. I can't wait to check out a couple of those that you just told me about, especially that TAC one. That one's really got me excited there.
It's really neat. It's a really neat app.
Well, I can't wait to mess around with that. I greatly appreciate your time and all the stuff you're doing up there. Keep on doing that. And I look forward to following you again on Twitter and seeing the stuff you're putting into Google+. So keep doing what you do.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Take care now.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.com. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store or at Stitcher.com. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.